Thanksgiving is this week, so we're going to do a little bit of a different direction today. We've been in a series on the book of James. This morning we're going to take just a little bit of a diversion. We're going to go to Psalm 100, and let's see. Pat, let's go ahead and go to the overhead. I'm going to be using mostly the New King James, but actually quite a number of different versions this morning as we take a look. And the name of the message this morning is Thanksgiving Changes Things. Can you say that with me? Thanksgiving changes things. Now let's read the scriptures out loud. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. A psalm of thanksgiving. Would you read with me, please? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what?
Singing.
With singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 100 out of the Message. I love this. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Would you say those verses with me? Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Thanksgiving is vitally linked with praise. And the scripture tells us, I love it out of the Message, it's the secret password to enjoying the presence of God and, in fact, life itself in Jesus. How many understand the Bible teaches, and I'm going to start with a negative and move right beyond it, but how many of you know the Bible teaches us that if we don't praise and worship God, and if we're not thankful, that we are cursed? Boy, starting with a positive point this morning, Pastor Kev, we're cursed. How many know that? Come on, I said, you know that you're cursed if you don't thank God. Now, can you come up with some quick things to praise God for this morning? I don't want to be cursed. Anybody else? I don't want to be cursed, but listen to what the Scripture says. Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He has destroyed you. Man, God is serious about this praising stuff and about this thanksgiving stuff. We come into a time of thanksgiving. It's really our only Christian, truly Christian holiday in America. Commercialism has so taken over Christmas time. I know we're supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but Thanksgiving is a time dedicated and set apart in our country as an opportunity to give thanks to God for His bountiful blessings. How many have been blessed by God this year? Come on, can you think of 1, 2, 3, 4? How many things can you think of? Blessed by God. Yeah, you've had a few problems along the way too. Can anybody say amen? Amen. How many know you're in good company? All God's kids got problems, right? Turn to each other and say, all God's kids got problems.
All God's kids got problems.
So be thankful that you're not alone. The list is extensive about what God's going to allow to happen in our lives because we make a choice not to praise and thank Him and be joyful and glad. The Hebrew literally means in there, if we don't serve Him with gladness and glee, with joyfulness, with delight, if we don't serve Him in beauty because of all He's done for us, then we lose all He's done for us. Well, how many are glad to be living in the grace part of the cross?
Amen.
Pastor, I don't want that to happen in my life. How can I make it different? What can I do? How can I turn this thing around for me? Because I don't want the lack of blessing. I want the presence of God in His blessing. Then the answer is begin to praise and thank God for all that He's done. Begin to thank and praise God. Make God your pleasure. Let serving Him give you the laughter that we sometimes get out of the world. How many know that I love to laugh? I love comedians. and I wish that they all were clean. Have you ever found yourself laughing at a dirty joke and wishing you hadn't? But sometimes they were kind of funny. Come on, some of you are looking real religious at me, Pastor Kevin. I never listen to dirty jokes. I understand that. Or you're watching television and there's some sort of ribald humor on, and it's just hilarious. And then afterwards you go, yikes. Because you feel like you should take a shower. But in God, and as we come to church and as we worship together and as we stand together and enjoy one another, we get to find a neat reason to laugh. And it's not at you, it's with you. We get to laugh in the blessing of God. And in the presence of God, there's a clean laughter. And we make God our pleasure. When we murmur and mutter, I remember a long, long time ago hearing a message by a great speaker who talked about even the sounds of the words are terrible. Murmur. Mutter. It's a negative kind of thing. And what happens when you give into that spirit, you end up defeated, discouraged, and disheartened. How many know there's anger in our land? I think the anger has only continued to increase. You see it every day on the roads and road rage, and you hear people shooting one another for stupid little reasons because there's anger loosed in our land. What's happened? No joy. How many would like to be around a really angry person? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Is that fun? So let's not be that angry person that leaves us friendless and joyless. Let's give thanks and find reasons to praise God. When you are down, it doesn't mean you have to deny it. As Christians, you don't need to live in a cinder block house where you never admit honesty. You can be honest with one another because the Bible says it, and it's right here in Galatians. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're not always up and giddy, but when we have a burden, we get to share it with each other. What is it? A burden shared is a burden halved, a burden cut in half. When you share it together and bear one another's burdens, so then there can be a lifting of that. We are blessed when we thank and praise God. Come on, I said, we are blessed when we thank and praise God. Say it with me. We are blessed when we thank and praise God. You minister to God and please Him when you praise Him and thank Him. You minister to God. It says, Revelation 4 verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. We're created to give Him pleasure. The Scripture says in the Greek, that is thelema. The word is thelema. It means there's a determination, there's a choice, there's a purpose, an inclination. There's a pleasure and a purpose that's lived out in your life when you minister to God. We're here by His choice. You understand, don't you, that you woke up this morning by the grace of God and by His choice? You know, then, when we start thinking that we can go our own way, live our own life, and just do our own thing and not be held into account, we're missing the purpose of God. The fact we woke up this morning is a gift of God's grace. Turn to each other and say, good to see you. Glad you woke up. And you should wake up now. We please Him when we thank Him. Acts 13, verse 2. We please Him when we thank Him as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. We become ministers to God. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. How did they do that? They were singing, they were praising, they were waiting on Him, they were praying, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to them as they ministered to Him. As we praise and worship God, we minister to Him, and He speaks to us. Thanks, Pastor Jay, for prophesying this morning. Bold, good words. Stepped right out. And it's a good thing. How many heard something from God in the prophecy this morning? Absolutely. We minister to Him and He speaks to us. On Thanksgiving, really enjoy it. Feasting, family, friends, football, but also give thanks. Most of all, give thanks. Ever seen a person who legally or legalistically served God but had no joy? Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I serve God all the time. I work hard for God. Well, I just want to follow your Jesus. Let it show in your countenance. There's got to be, you know, it's hard to say thank you to somebody or to God without it showing up in your face, isn't it? It is. It's hard. Turn to each other. Take a minute. Turn to each other. Find one thing to thank each other for. I know, if you're a guest this morning, just make something up. Find one thing to thank each other for. I've seen a lot more people smiling now than I did a moment ago. It's a lot harder to hold off on to hold a frown when you're thinking, isn't it? It's a lot easier to smile. Okay, some of you aren't done. I see. Okay, go ahead. We please Him. We minister to God when we thank Him. Secondly, thanksgiving builds your faith and it gives you strength. It builds your faith and gives you strength because you put your eyes on Him. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. Say the last phrase with me, please. Abounding in thanksgiving. The Greek word there is parousio, and it means to superabound, to be in excess. Superabound in the Lord as you give Him thanks. Superabound in thanksgiving every day, and especially this Thanksgiving. Then we find strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When we praise God, it puts everything into perspective. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Paul, who was battered around more than most all of us. Let me see a show of hands. Anybody in this room had a tough time in the last year on anything? Come on, let's see a show of hands. Is it encouraging to know somebody's got it worse than you? The Apostle Paul had it worse. I'm just being real with you, okay? The Apostle Paul had it worse than all of us. And look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction. He's shipwrecked, he's beaten, he's left for dead, he's stoned under a pile of rocks. You can see him crawling out from under him. And he goes, well, this was only light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Out of the Message, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we are now today, or that are now here today, are gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last how long?
Forever.
Out of the New Living. We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. The things we cannot see will last forever. Paul fixed his gaze on Jesus. The same man taught Colossians, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Defeat, thanksgiving and praise not only does those other things, but it gives you victory over the devil. Victory and strength. Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouths of praise, or of babes rather, and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You begin to praise God and give thanksgiving for what He's done for your life. You will silence the enemy and defeat the avenger. How many want to have victory even more so in God than you've had? There's some things yet in my life that I want to see victory in. There's some things in this church, things in your life, things in our friends and family I want to see God have victory in. Let's begin to praise God then and believe that He's able to do them. Jesus quoted that same scripture in Matthew 21, verse 16, but He made a subtle change. Watch this. Have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have, please say it with me, perfected praise. Jesus links strength to perfected praise. Need some victory in your life? Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, was facing a huge battle. Who did he send out first? Remember? 2 Chronicles. He sent out praisers and worshipers first. Those who went out and thanked and praised God. And the enemy was completely confused and completely routed as the king sent out praisers and worshipers first. I know we've said it before, but how many would like to have been on the praise team that morning? I believe you, Lord. Send out my brother. But the enemies were routed and defeated. So thanksgiving gives you victory and defeats the devil. Giving praise and thanks keeps us humble because we see when we praise Him that He's the one in charge. Our eyes are on Him and not on our problems. He's in charge, not us. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Verses 6 and 7 then go on to say, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in the Message. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It was 1620 when some pilgrims crossed the Atlantic in some desperately small wooden vessels. 102 people wedged in the tween decks of the Mayflower, the cargo space, 5.5 feet of headroom is all. They continued to sing as they were tossed about storm-driven seas. They sang from the Book of Psalms. 66 days at sea before land was sighted. They were ill, they were sick, they were cramped, and they were praising and thanking God for a new day upon them. Only one person died on that voyage. Only one. And it was the man who derided them and mocked them and told them they were never going to make it. He was the only one who died on that vessel's journey. They landed in the only place where they could have been safe, where a previous village had existed and the land was cleared. And there were even some huts, if I understand correctly, that were remaining on the land. But what had happened is a disease had killed the Indian tribe, the Native American tribe who had lived there previously. That's where they landed, the only place they could have. Desperately short of supplies, and they let them off. And one day, out of the woods, walks a tall Indian fellow named Squanto, who looks at them and says, "Welcome," in English. Turns out Squanto had been stolen away and become a slave over in Europe, only he had escaped and made his way back to his homeland in America. God brought him, and he was the one who helped the pilgrims live that first year. They were so desperately ill, half of their crew, half of their group of people died, and they got down to eating 5 kernels of corn per day. And they made it through. And the Native Americans helped them learn how to plant corn and plant other crops. They lived, and then they gathered together for their first Thanksgiving meal. They had foot races, they had bread, they had wild turkeys, and they had fellowship together. Now, that band of pilgrims were dedicated Christians, and no matter what revised history tells you, those were the events that took place and many more. There was another place, another colony, where the people went to simply rape the land for economic value, and it was not a blessing. But this particular place was a rich, treasured blessing and gives us heritage in the Lord. The pilgrims, Squanto, Chief Massasoit, and the Wampanoag Indians. In 1789, Congress approved the Bill of Rights and recommended a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to thank God for blessing America. Our Congress did that. How many think that would be a good idea for our Congress nowadays to rededicate themselves to such a thing? November 26, 1789, President Washington declared the first National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving to the Lord. 75 years later, Abraham Lincoln officially established the last Thursday in November as a day to acknowledge the gracious gifts of the Most High God. This Thursday, when you gather, can you stop for a few moments and honor God for His gracious gifts? Amen. He's been good to us. And in 1941, Congress officially made Thanksgiving a national holiday. Now, I'm going to close real quickly with a couple of stories. How many remember that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, how many turned around to give thanks? One. He was blessed. He had an extra interchange with Jesus that 9 others didn't. When you give thanksgiving and praise, you have an intimate interchange with Jesus that you don't have when you're not filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. But the Lord has put thanksgiving even within the hearts of some massive creatures that He's created. There was a recent front page article on the San Francisco Chronicle about a female humpback whale who had become entangled in a spider web of crab lines and traps. She was weighted down by hundreds of pounds of traps that had caused her to struggle, just to struggle, to stay afloat. She had hundreds of yards of line wrapped around her body, around her tail and around her torso, and a line tugging at her mouth. A fisherman spotted her just east, just outside the Golden Gate Bridge, and radioed to a group to come and help. Within a few hours, a rescue team had shown up. It's a true story. And determined that she was so bad off, the only way to save her was for them to dive in and untangle her. When she was free, they worked for hours and hours with carved and curved knives and eventually freed her. And when she was free, the divers say she swam in what seemed to be joyous circles. She then came back to each and every diver, one at a time, and nudged them, pushing them gently around. And it was her way, they believe, of thanking them. Some said it was the most incredible thing and beautiful experience they'd ever had in their lives, as this massive creature just nudged them to say thanks. The guy who cut the rope out of her mouth said her eyes followed him the entire time, and he'll never be the same. Church, if the whales can give thanks, can't we? There was a little man, he'd grown to be a man, about 20 years old. His name was Stevie. We've already spoken of some with Down syndrome, and he had the typical Down syndrome appearance, the smooth face, the slurred words. But when he came to the restaurant owner and asked for a job, she was quite concerned. She had a little truck stop, and, you know, she knew how it was. She loved the truckers who came in, and she thought to herself, the truckers won't have any problems with Stevie because they don't care. They just want a great meatloaf. And they just want a good truck stop to stop into. The ones she was worried about were the city slickers who would stop in with their business accounts and who thought that all the waitresses, whether pretty or fair or not, were to be flirted with and who were there for their own agendas. Those were the ones that she was concerned about. Stevie was short, a little dumpy, but she decided to go ahead and invest in Stevie and hire him. And what she was concerned about quickly went away, because after the first week, Stevie had her staff completely wrapped around his stubby little finger. Within a month, the truckers and the regulars had adopted him as their official truck stop mascot. After that, the restaurant owner didn't care what anybody else thought. He was like a kid. Just a big kid in blue jeans and Nikes. But that young man was so eager to laugh with his customers and to please them. And he was literally fierce in his attention to detail. Every salt and pepper shaker was arranged just perfectly on every single table. The only problem they had with him was to restrain him from going to clear the tables before people were finished eating. He would sit at the back or stand in the back just at attention, scanning the room. And as soon as somebody got up, he was over there. He cleaned that table. He polished it. And if people watched him, he furrowed his brow and he worked even that much harder so he could do his job exactly right. Over time, the restaurant owner learned that Stevie lived with a mother who was desperately poor. She was a widow. And she was living on depleted Social Security income after several cancer surgeries. She lived just two miles, from the truck stop. And they didn't know how she was making it. It was a social worker who informed her that without Stevie's income at this little truck stop, they probably would be broken up as a family and Stevie would have to live in a home. It was a very dark morning, one morning in August, when Stevie didn't show up for work. It was the first time in 3 years he hadn't been there. And Turns out he was at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester getting a new valve put in his heart. The social worker said to the restaurant owner, people with Down syndrome often have heart problems at an early age, so it's not unexpected. And there's a good chance he'll come through the surgery in okay shape. He probably will be able to come back to work even in a few months. A ripple of excitement ran through the staff later that morning when a phone call came and said that he was out of surgery, he had done just great, and one of the waitresses, Franny, let out a loud war whoop, if you will, and she was dancing up and down, and a couple of the truckers were sitting by, and they didn't know what this 50, 60, 70-year-old grandmother was doing jumping up and down. And she was doing a thumbs up. She told them about Stevie. And then she said, but you know, he's in destitute condition. And I absolutely have no idea how they're going to pay those bills. She left the table after talking to these two regular trucking customers. And they just stared after her as she walked away. Then she told a couple of others who were just quieted. But a little bit later, this waitress, after clearing their tables, came in to see the restaurant owner. She had this strange little envelope in her hands. Actually, it wasn't an envelope. It was a paper napkin all folded up. And the restaurant owner looked at her and said, what's up? And she said, I didn't get to that table right away where those two guys were sitting. They're with us all the time. But when I went back to clear it off, there was this folded napkin under a coffee cup. She handed the napkin to the restaurateur, and three $20 bills fell out onto the desk. And on the outside, in big, bold letters, was printed, something for Stevie. The trucker asked me what it was all about, so I told him and mentioned that that might be difficult. And apparently, they told other people, because here's another envelope, and two $50 bills fell out. With tears in their eyes, they shook their heads and they said, what a great group these truckers are. That was 3 months ago, or 3 months later. Stevie was getting ready on Thanksgiving Day to come back in to go to work. His placement worker said he'd been waiting and calling for 2 weeks to find out if he still had his job. Is my job still there? I want to come to work. He was thinner and he was paler, but when he walked in the door, Stevie was grinning from ear to ear as he headed back to the back room, picked up his apron, and picked up his utensils to start cleaning. The restaurant owner looked and said, Stevie, wait a minute, not so fast. There's a table back there that's just loaded up with stuff And you got to go clean that one first. And in fact, when you clean it up, we're going to feed your mom and you some breakfast. But you got to clean that up first. And there were plates, all cattywampus, sitting on a pile of folded napkins. And so Stevie went back to the table and he sat down and he picks one and it says something for Stevie. And money falls out. And he kept picking up these folded napkins, something for Stevie. His name was scrawled on it, and money kept falling out. Turns out before he was done opening them all, there was $10,000 in cash and checks sitting on that table from all sorts of truckers and trucking companies that heard about his problem. And above all, over by the table was written the words, Happy Thanksgiving. And everybody started to cheer and everybody started to rejoice because his needs were being met and Stevie was back home. And the restaurateur closes her story this way. You know that, Stevie? The best worker I ever hired. Elaine, would you come? Would you stand with me, please? We think sometimes that our lives are challenging and our lives are difficult, and they are. But how many of you know there's usually somebody else who's got a bigger need. There's usually someone else that we can be praying for. Get our eyes off ourselves and minister. I am so grateful for so many things this Thanksgiving. Thankful to be with you. Thankful to be alive. Thankful for my friend Pastor Carl coming back from the hospital with great sense of humor on Monday, even if he was in pain. Thankful. Are you grateful this morning?
Yes.
Can you find things to give thanks for this Thursday, this Thanksgiving? Let's take each other's hands. Would you reach across the room? Father, we thank you that you are so good. Thanksgiving changes things. We thank you most of all that Thanksgiving changes us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. You've saved us. You've redeemed us. You've brought us new life. And Lord, in the midst of pain and difficulties and frustration that happen week in and week out, we stand here this morning and we give you thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. And all the people said,
Amen. Amen.